Tonight we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate you leading us tonight. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Typically we stand, but you're all scooted in around the tables, so I will just read the text. I won't expect you to stand tonight. Connor's standing, so that's, and Denise, so that's enough. So, all right. So, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Let us hear what God's word says for us this evening. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You'll remember that we are early on in Jesus' public ministry. He had been baptized, which was done so that he might step into that priestly role that was his office in this life. And then he was driven to the wilderness to face the temptation that our first parents failed. He succeeded and stood up underneath that temptation. Then Jesus began to preach the gospel, preaching that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Then he calls his first disciples to him. Then he heals a demon-possessed man. And then he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And he heals many. And then you remember that he tries to step away, and his disciples and all of the people desiring healing and time with him come find him in that desolate place where he had gone to pray, to commune with his Father. And he was set to minister all the more, all throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. And that is where we find ourselves at the beginning of our section tonight. Is Jesus in the midst of a very busy ministry with a lot going on, a lot of people clamoring for his attention, and here comes a leper. And the first thing we see is the leper's longing. This leper makes his way to Jesus. And here we find a matter of identity. He was a leper. That is what he would have been known as in his family, in his village, wherever he went. In fact, they were forced to veil themselves and to yell, "Unclean, unclean." Now, leprosy wasn't merely the simple flesh-eating disease that we think of. It was could have been a number of things. Nowadays, we probably wouldn't call them a leper, would see that as depersonifying them, would call them a person who happens to have psoriasis or something like this. But then they were a leper. Any number of skin diseases would fall into that category. And they faced sometimes ridicule, sometimes great shame. They were in a separate category of worshipers in the temple. This was a big deal. And it was something that was very well known, very public, and very undeniable. And it is out of that desperation, that longing, that this leper comes to find Christ. He comes, he implores, he kneels before Christ and says to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." He speaks to Christ's volition, to his willingness, not to his ability. He knew that Christ could heal him. But it was merely a matter of if Christ desired, wanted to heal him. And listen, friends, this touches on something that probably resonates in all of our hearts and lives. Whatever you are facing, whatever the severity, the difficulty, the challenge, the desperation, the illness, the isolation, the shame, Jesus can address that. Jesus can address that. This leper was putting himself in a very precarious place because he was crying out to Jesus. He had made his way to him. He was imploring him. He was kneeled before him. And he said, "If you will, you can make me clean." What if Jesus looked at him and said, "I won't"? On that cusp right there, in that little vacuum of time, is where our faith resides and our hope of heaven. Because Jesus can address all of these things, but he may not this side of glory. He may not address them until we see him face to face. And for some of us, that's a lifetime of desperation. That's a lifetime of pain. It's a lifetime of heartache. But it's also a lifetime of faith, and a lifetime of hope, and a lifetime of knowing that in the life to come, Christ will address all of our earthly problems, everything that we struggle with. What we see next, secondly, is a Savior's sympathy, moved with pity. This almost resonates with the same emotion as John 11, where Christ, having waited to go see his friend Lazarus, who is sick, now dead, knowing that he was going to raise him from the dead, wept. He cried, because he felt the pain of this life. He walked in the footsteps that you are walking. He knew what it was to have family who did not accept him as Savior, as Messiah. He knew what it was to have those who denied the true faith. He knew what it was to walk a difficult path that brought great pain and misery. And he did so completely undeservingly. And he was moved. He was moved when his friend Lazarus died. He was moved as he looked out over Jerusalem and wept and mourned for that city that he loved, who would not turn to him in faith. And he knew that destruction was coming. And he's moved here as this leper comes, cries out to him, bows before him, makes a statement of great faith and great uncertainty. And he was moved with pity. And he did in this moment the unthinkable. He stretched out his hand and he touched him. I don't know how long this man had been a leper, But since he was a leper, no one had touched him. No one. Not even his mother. Not even his father. Not the priest. Not the rabbi in his village. None of the scribes. No one would touch him. And friends, this is where we find that glimmer of the hope of heaven. Because when we see Christ face to face, in that moment, such great resolution will come. Such great clarity. And we will be known, like we will experience being known. We will know it and on a certain level understand it like we have never known it and understood it in our lives. When we know face to face in the physical presence the touch of Christ. Just like this leper did. Christ reaches out. He touches him. And says to him, I will be clean. Christ's actions and words here mimic. It's a great literary device that Mark uses. Because we find the leper moving to Christ, imploring him, kneeling and saying. And we find Christ moved with pity, stretching out his hand, touching him, and saying, I will be clean. And Mark, when he doesn't know what else to say, he says immediately. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Healing. Christ's compassion did not leave him in his state of brokenness. And friends, we have many broken people in our generation whom people say we need to have compassion for them, and we do. But the compassion of Christ brings healing. The compassion of Christ brings wholeness. And then in what seems like a strange move, thirdly, we see Christ giving him intense instructions, sternly charged him. Now, I've always been a very talkative person. I was a very talkative child. I was very active. I had a lot of my own ideas of what should be done and what should be going on. I have numerous times in my life been sternly charged by my parents and my teachers and perhaps even my wife on occasion. Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now, to understand this, we need to go to Leviticus 14. And you can turn there if you want, but let me just summarize the process for what a leper who was claiming healing had to go through as what Christ is commanding him. First, they had to be brought to the priest. Then they had to be examined by the priest. Then there was this ritual where there would be the releasing of a bird with the blood of a sacrificed bird sprinkled on it. And that blood also sprinkled on the leper. And the pronouncement of cleanliness. Then, to be healed, one would wash their clothes, shave off all their hair. I'm mostly there. And bathe in water. Then they would have to go and live outside their tent or their house for 7 days. Then on the seventh day, they would shave off all their hair again, including their beard and their eyebrows, wash their clothes, and bathe in water again. Then on the eighth day, they would make an offering of two lambs, one for guilt and one for a priestly barbecue. And they would make an offering of grain and of oil, and there would be a wave offering of the grain before the Lord on some items, and then the blood of the guilt offering would be put on the right earlobe, right thumb, and right big toe of the leper. Then the priest would take the oil from the log of oil, how they would store the oil, and sprinkle it seven times, and then put what's left on the right earlobe and the right thumb and the right big toe. Then put what's left of that oil on the head of the one seeking healing. Then he would offer the sin offer to make atonement and then kill the burnt offering and make the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. And if one was poor, there would be a reduced amount of that ceremony that would need to be done. That is what Jesus is telling this one to go do before the priest to prove out his healing. And these were intense instructions because Christ upheld the law. Christ honored the law that had been given to God's people. Christ himself was born under the law and obeyed it fully within his life. But here the leper is put on the spot. He was called to submit to the legal requirements to go through all of that, but not talk to anyone about what had happened. The greatest, most identity-changing, experience-shifting event of your life, but don't talk about it. The timing, the growth of the message in people's experience of Christ, Christ's availability to the people, that is what was at stake. And we see the fruit of that. As fourthly, we see a healed man's homily. He went out and began to talk freely about it. Back in World War II, the phrase, "Loose lips sink ships." This guy had some loose lips about what Jesus had done for him. And not only was he just talking about it, he was intentionally spreading the word about it. And what happened? Jesus was swarmed with people. I don't know what all kinds of healing had gone on up to this point. But you can imagine the desperation that happened when lepers found out that they could be made clean. Just the mere fact that this man was not afraid to touch them had to invigorate that entire community as they lived together in colonies as rejected people. People were coming to him from everywhere. Everywhere. And he could no longer go into a town because as soon as people found out that he was heading to La Mesa, they would swarm the town looking for him and he couldn't even get in the place. So he had to hang out in Alpine. A little more desolate, a little more rural, where there was a lot more space for people to congregate and hang out and Jesus still have a ministry. And friends, it would be convenient for us if we had received that same instruction from Christ. Because have we not experienced that great identity-changing, experience-shifting event of having met Jesus? Of having been healed, of having been changed, of having been made whole? And we often act as if we have been sternly charged not to tell anyone about it. But friends, that's not our charge. This is not how we are commanded to act in regard to our healing today. Our charge is found in Matthew 28 that says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Friends, we have not been sternly charged to tell no one. We have been commissioned to go and tell. And so how will we act when we, like the leper, are put on the spot? What will we say? How will we act? What will our message be? Because it may not seem like it. We were talking about this, some of us earlier this week, that those of us who have boring testimonies, I like to say that I was saved from a life of drug dealing and drunkenness and arms dealing. You can throw in whatever sin you want, but I was just saved from it before I did it. Because that's the reality. Do we understand what dire straits we were in, even as infants, as toddlers, as preschoolers? Do we understand just how rebellious our hearts were? How destined for hell we were? And yet God, by His Spirit, caused us to come find Jesus and implore Him and bow before Him and say, "Jesus, if you are willing, you can make even me clean." And praise God that He says to us, "I will. Be clean." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your good news, which does heal us, save us, cleanse us, make us whole. Thank you, O Lord, that you are willing. As we were reminded this morning, Father God, out of your mere good pleasure, you have saved a people for yourself. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us hearts that are willing and lips that are able to speak joyous praise to all who ask us of the hope that resides within us, that Jesus was willing and he made me clean. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.